Our scripture reading is taken from the Song of Solomon, and I'll be reading chapter 1, verse 1 to 7, and chapter 2, verse 1 to 7. The Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 1 to 7. The Song of Songs, which is Solomon's, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for your love is better than wine. Your anointing oils are fragrant. Your name is oil poured out. Therefore, virgins love you. Draw me after you. Let us run. The king has brought me into his chambers. We will exalt you and rejoice in you. We will extol your love more than wine. Rightly do they love you. Verse 5, I am very dark but lovely, O daughters of Jerusalem, like the tents of Kedar, like the curtains of Solomon. Do not gaze at me because I am dark, because the sun has looked upon me. My mother's son were angry with me. They made me keeper of the vineyards, but my own vineyard I have not kept. Tell me, you whom my soul loves, where you pasture your flock, where you make it lie down at noon. For why should I, like one who veils herself, besides the flocks of your companions? Chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. I am a rose of Sharon, a lily of the valleys. As a lily among brambles, so is my love among the young woman. As an apple tree among the trees of the forest, so is my beloved among the young men. With great delight I sat in his shadow, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me into the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Sustain me with raisins. Refresh me with apples, for I am sick with love. His left hand is under my head, and his right hand embraces me. I adjure you, O daughters of Jerusalem, by the gazelles and the does of the field, that you do not stir up or awaken love until it pleases. This is the word of God. Good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ. We are embarking on a four-week series entitled Strong Marriages and Families, and it is based on the book Song of Songs. In the middle of this series, we will also have a Father's Day message. This series was planned to teach on one of our church pillars, which is strong marriages and family. Let us go to the Lord in prayer as we begin today's sermon. Heavenly Father, give us wisdom, Lord. Give us wisdom to understand this book. And I pray, Lord, that as every married couple, the couple in relationship and every single hears your word, that they will be encouraged, Lord. That your word will speak to us in whatever phases of our lives that we may be in today, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. A famous second century Jewish teacher by the name of Akiba ben Joseph once said, "All the ages are not worth the day on which the Song of Songs was given to Israel. For all the right things are holy, but the Song of Songs is the holy of holies." Now, the rabbi was talking about a book in the Bible called the Song of Songs. The Song of Songs can also be known as the Song of Solomon. Both refer to the same book in the Bible. Now, this is the first time that we are studying this book over the pulpit. So I'd like to spend some time giving us an overview of this book so that we can better appreciate this book. Now, the book was said to be penned by King Solomon, and he is Israel's wisest king. His name comes up several times in the book. If you turn to 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 32, it indicates that Solomon wrote 1,005 songs. Now, in the Hebrew language, Song of Song, literally, it means the best song. So in other words, of all the songs that Solomon wrote, Song of Songs was the best. Now, how do we approach this book? The Song of Song is one of the fascinating book in the Old Testament. It is not your typical narrative that has a storyline like Genesis. It is not a prophetic book or a book about laws and commandments. This book is a dialogue between two lovers. It is a poetry. And there are sexual undertones behind the figurative language. And some parts are R-rated if you read in between the lines. Now, for much of church history, the book has been used to allegorize God's love for his people. Every year, the Jews will read five books at Passover: Ruth, Esther, Ecclesiastes, Lamentations, and Song of Songs. And the Song of Song is to remind them of God's love for the Jewish people. It is couched under the metaphor of love, of a love between a man and a woman. But most scholars argue to understand the book as it is. It is a book describing the emotional and physical relationship between a husband and a wife. So who are the characters in the book and what is the plot? The star of the story is known as the Shulamite woman. And the book, we will see, indicates that she is a peasant girl working in a vineyard. And we will learn from her much about love, romance, and sexual purity. And then there is the other character, the male character. And he is the male lover. He is portrayed as this wealthy king who won the heart of the Shulamite woman, and he sweeps her off her feet. Then there is a third group called the Daughters of Jerusalem. They are like the bystanders, perhaps the friends or the bridesmaid of the Shulamite woman. They are her supporters, and they also look up to her for her wisdom on love. And finally, we have the Shulamite brothers. They serve as her protection and her covering, and they are very resolute in keeping her sexually pure before marriage. So those are the cast. The book has three movements to it. First is courtship. And then the second part builds towards the wedding day and the sexual consummation. The third part tells of their relationship after marriage. Like every couple, there are struggles and conflict, and we'll see how they resolve their issues. Now, the book is a poem, so it is not necessarily arranged in chronological order. Now, one important principle about interpreting this book or any book in the Bible, and that is it has to be governed under the broader context of the other books of the Bible. So the way we read and understand the Song of Songs has to be in harmony with the other teachings on marriages in other parts of the Bible. Now, a possible storyline behind this book is that King Solomon, he owns many vineyards all over the nation. And while visiting one of them, Solomon met a country girl called the Shulamite, and she captures his heart. They fell in love. Solomon proposed to her, and she accepted the proposal because she loved him. And then Solomon sent a wedding procession to escort his bride to his palace, and they got married. And the details of their first night together are intimately and beautifully described in chapter 4. All right, so we have an overview of the book, the cast, and a probable storyline. Question: why should we read this love story which happened a few thousand years ago? What do we want to gain out of it? Our media today is saturated with stories of sexual romance, extramarital affairs, and a love that is not committable. It paints a picture of sex outside of marriage that is a norm. And sex and marriages is turned into like an urgent, casual, and self-gratifying activity. Love is turned into lust, giving into getting, and lasting commitment into no strings attached. That is something we see in our environment today, our media, or even the music that we hear. The Song of Songs is God's word, and it teaches us love, romance, growing in intimacy the way that God authored them to be. And it tells us that God's design for a male and a female, physical and emotional union, is good and sacred. Sexual pleasures is not something that is casual. It is meant to be experienced in a healthy romance. It is meant to be enjoyed and protected by a commitment of love within a marriage. So we can look at this book as a gift from God, a precious gift. It teaches us about love and romance the way that God intended it to be. The first lesson that I like to draw from our passage today is, it is good to desire intimacy with your spouse. It is good to desire intimacy with your spouse. Look at verse 2. And this is what the Shulamite woman tells her lover. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for your love is better than wine. Guys, how would you feel if your wife said this to you? Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Well, we would think probably, wow, this is the day that the Lord has made, huh? But we get the point, don't we? The woman is expressing her desire for her mate. She says to him, your love is better than wine. Love and wine goes hand in hand. It is very suggestive. In other words, she desires intimacy with her maid. And then if you look at verse 4, the woman is very excited. She exclaims, draw me after you. Let us run. And where does she want to run to? The king has brought me into his chambers. She wants her husband to bring her into his chambers. And that's very direct, isn't it? She wants to be with him in private, in the bedroom. And she's not shy to express her desire to be intimate with him. And we will see such steamy and romantic conversations throughout the book. If you look at verse 15, he will tell her, behold, you are beautiful, my love. He describes describes her eyes as beautiful as the dove's. And then she will respond, "You are beautiful, handsome, my beloved, truly delightful." And things get very intense when we reach chapter 4 and 5. The couple is not shy to express their desire for each other in an intimate way. One application for those of us who are married. Do we express our love and our desire for intimacy for our spouse, whether through words or action? How can we improve in this area? Our studies have shown that when intimacy with our spouse is good and is strong, the marriage union will be very strong. And it will also benefit all areas of our lives. There was a psychological study done in Germany during the 1980s. And it reveals this. It reveals that if a man kissed his wife in the morning before leaving for work, he would, among others, live 5 years longer. He will also have fewer car accidents on the way to work. He will have 50% fewer illness. And this man will make 20 or 30% more money than the man who doesn't. Perhaps there is some truth to this. Each time you start your day right with your spouse, you have a positive outlook to life. You feel like you can conquer the world. If you're already doing that with your spouse, good for you. You have extra 5 years to live. But some of us probably feel awkward about expressing our love and desires through our words or actions. Now, the first thing that we need to be encourage ourselves is that, as seen in the Song of Songs, it is a good thing to show and desire intimacy for our spouse. And it also encourages our spouse where we show that we want to be intimate with them. And the fact that this book is in the Bible tells that God approves of it. God encourages it. God designed intimacy and sex within the security of a marriage that is meant to be enjoyed, and we need not feel awkward about it. We also need not think that only one party, and usually the husband, who must take the initiative. You know, it's very interesting that we see here the woman is the one that is very forthcoming. And it's interesting to note that the woman does majority of the speaking in this book. She speaks 53% of the time compared to the man, 34%. And she is the one that has the first and last word in this book of romance. And in many parts, the woman makes the move and invites her husband to respond. Before the COVID situation, perhaps it is difficult for a married couple to find time for intimacy. Work and other commitments probably have worn us out. But now that most of us stay home, I believe we have opportunities to build intimacy in our marriage. When you talk to your spouse, what do you tend to communicate about? Chances are we talk about work, we talk about children, the household, the logistics, the matters that needs to be settled. Now, those are important, but God's word also encourages us to communicate words of love and intimacy, both in words and in actions. And it will enhance our marriage if we pay attention to the intimacy in our marriage. I'm giving homework to all married couples, and it's something straightforward, biblical, so no excuse not to do it. I'd like you to read the Bible with and to your spouse. And the passage that I want you to read to each other is Song of Songs, the whole of chapter 4, right up to chapter 5, verse 1. It is a dialogue between the male lover and his bride. All right, so if you follow the ESV, husbands, you read chapter 4, verse 1 to 16, and then your wife responds with chapter 4, verse 17, then the husband concludes with chapter 5, verse 1, okay? Read it in a romantic way, all right? So it's something very simple, biblical, just read the Bible, read to each other this coming week, okay? And this is the passage that I'm going to preach next week. So do your homework, probably check in some to some of you, all right? Now, I read a commentary which highlights also some practical ways that a married couple can do to build intimacy, and includes some of these that you see on the screen. Be respectful and courteous at all times, treating your mate like a good friend or even a best friend. Now, spend time with your spouse and your family, both quality and quantity time. Make room for intimacy and affection. And some other things, as you can look at the screen, is honor each other's needs and rights. Put your spouse before all others, including your children, and be willing to sacrifice for your spouse. Now, what is one or two things that you see on the list that you can apply in this coming week? The Bible encourages physical intimacy between a husband and a wife. And we can build intimacy with our spouse through our words and our actions. Now, as we move along the book, we can also draw wisdom from the book on how to look for a spouse. Now, if you are a youth, this may not be relevant to you at this point, but keep in mind the lessons for the future. And if you are a young adult, there are some principles that we can learn about choosing a spouse. So how do we choose for a spouse? Firstly, check the reputation of that person. Now, if you look at verse 3, one of the things that attracted the woman to the man is his name. Look at how his name is being described. Look at verse 3. Your anointing oils are fragrant. Your name is oil poured out. Therefore, virgins love you. Now, in other version, it tells that your name is like spreading fragrance. Your name is like perfume. Now, notice, it didn't say that this man is handsome, wealthy, or powerful. It basically describes the name of the man. It is like oil overflowing. It is like abundance, giving. His name is like a great smell, a perfume. You know, you go into a room, you hear this name, it pleases you. Now, what it basically means that this is a great guy, but more importantly, he has a great reputation, a great character. He's well respected, and he attracts people around him because of his reputation. And so if you are dating someone or looking for a spouse, look for a person with a good reputation. Now, how do we discern that? First cut, is this man a disciple of Jesus Christ, faithfully following Jesus? Does he exhibit good Christian character? What do others say about him? We can learn about this person through what his friends or others comment about him. Now, we need to take this seriously, that when we are looking for a spouse, because we are going to spend the rest of our life with this person. There is a saying in Chinese that goes that, you know, before marriage, open your eyes big, big. In other words, examine this person. What is he like? Don't be swayed by emotions. Make sure that this is a person of good character. Now, the second principle that we can draw from the text about choosing a spouse is to look beyond the physical looks. Now, we may think that the man is attracted to the woman because she looks like a beautiful Korean actress, or she is wealthy, like a wealthy princess. But you look at what is described of our female lead. Look at verses 5 to 6. Chapter 1, she says this, I am very dark. And then in verse 6, don't gaze at me because I am dark, because the sun has looked upon me. She describes herself in verse 5 like the tents of Kedar, like the curtains of Solomon. The tents of Kedar speaks of a certain tribe in Israel, they live in the desert, who uses the hair of black goats to make their tans. And this woman describes a complexion like those tans in the desert. Now, what does it tell of our Shulamite woman? She is an ordinary peasant girl. She works in the vineyard. She's made to work in the vineyard. And as she works in the vineyard, she do not have time to take care of her own vineyard, which refers to her body, her skin, her complexion. And so she has developed a dark and tan complexion, which probably in her time, it is not the most beautiful. Everybody is looking for a fair woman. So she feels a little insecure about her looks. But yet her lover describes her, if you look at verse 8 and verse 15, as the most beautiful among women. She's not beautiful perhaps externally or physically, but there's something that her lover sees probably deep inside of her that is beautiful. Maybe it's her character, her wisdom, or her diligence, her hard-workingness. And he falls in love with her for what is inside of her, not so much how she looks. You know, there's a story about Johnny Lingo. If you Google Johnny Lingo, you can even find a short film. I watched that film set in the 1960s or 70s, and I thought it was a very meaningful film, Johnny Lingo. And Johnny Lingo, in this story, was a shrewd trader. So one day, he came into the island to bargain for a wife. And according to the native custom, he must offer cows as payment, as dowry for the wife. Okay, and of course, one cow is not that cheap either. Now, the entire village and even her father considers Mahana, the person that Johnny Lingo wants to marry, and the village and her father thinks that even his daughter is of little value. She's ugly, she's undesirable, she has a frame that slouches. And everybody commented that, you know, Mahana's father would be very lucky if Johnny Lingo's offer even one cow. And the day of bargaining come, Mahana's father asked Johnny Lingo for 3 cows, expecting that Johnny Lingo will probably bargain further. When the islanders heard of it, they all laughed when they heard of the father's bright price. They thought that he would be fortunate if Johnny Lingo offered one. Now, Johnny pondered upon the offer and said this, 3 cows are many, but not enough for Mahana. And he offered an unheard price of 8 cows for her hand in marriage. The whole village was shocked. Johnny and Mahana left the island for many months on visiting other islands. Now, when they came back, the villagers were startled by Mahana's transformation. She became a beautiful, poised, and confident woman. So much so that her father felt cheated that he only got 8 cows, he should have gotten 10. Now, a friend was very puzzled and asked Johnny Lingo, "Hey, what happened?" Johnny answered that he treated her as what he thinks she is worth. She is a 10-cow wife. And Johnny showed his wife that she was worth more than she ever knew. He was able to see how valuable she is beyond her looks. And to him, he made the best bargain for her when he married her. The story tells us that the value of a person is not in the person's physical looks. A potential spouse may not be a person that is beautiful, but a person that is worth so much inside of her, a character. And the story is also a reflection for those of us who are married. We get more of our spouse when we treat our spouse with great value. Now, what have we learned so far? We learned about choosing a life partner, examine the reputation or the character of the person. We also learned that it's important to go beyond the physical beauty. Now, the passage also teaches us that there is wisdom in waiting for the right time to love. Now, in chapter 2, verse 7, the woman has sound advice to the young woman, the daughters of Jerusalem around her. And she tells them this, "I adjure you, O daughters of Jerusalem, by the Gazelites and the doors of the field, that you do not stir up or awaken love until it pleases." Now, what does she mean here? The Shulamite woman is giving the young ladies very sound and good advice. She's saying, don't enter into a relationship prematurely. She doesn't want her friends to make a terrible decision. Now, the metaphors of the animals in the field in this passage, in chapter 2, verse 7, suggests that these animals, they at a certain season, they come together for sexual activity. And the Shulamite woman, in other words, is warning her friends, don't let your passion go out of control. It will cause hurt and damage when the time is not right, when you're not ready yet for marriage. Now, what it implies here is that we need to exercise self-control. And so if you are in a relationship, put a restraint on the physical intimacy with your partner. God's way of physical intimacy is a commitment through marriage first. Sexual pleasure is meant to be experienced, enjoyed, and protected under a promise and a commitment of love within a marriage. So, the sisters among us, I want to encourage you that if you are in a relationship, stand firm in the area of physical intimacy. Make it clear to your boyfriend that there are certain lines he cannot cross. It is okay to give the guy a pinch if he forgets or he crosses a certain line. And brothers, remember that your girlfriend is also a sister in Christ, a child of God. And if you really love the person that God bless you with, then you will wait you will respect her and glorify God by keeping her pure. Now we will talk more about sexual purity and chastity next week. But for now, chapter 2, verse 7 exhorts the unmarried to be patient. Love and intimacy is a good thing, but it has to be with the right person, in the right way, at the right time. And God's time for physical intimacy is called marriage. For now to then, let us maintain sexual purity. It's important to note that as we talk about this subject of marriage and physical intimacy, this is God's common grace to all mankind. But the Bible also affirms singlehood. And this is a gift that God gives some Christians, that they may commit their lives to the service of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, as much as we affirm marriage, the church is also a place for the singles, and certainly they are a vital part of the body of Christ. What have we learned so far? For those of us who are married, we learned that it is a good thing to desire physical intimacy with our spouse, and God's word encourages us to build the romance in our marriage. And we have explored some ways that we can build intimacy with our spouse. Remember to do the simple exercise that I gave you. Read chapter 4 and 5 to each other. And for those who are waiting, those in our relationship, we also learned some principles about choosing a spouse, go for the character of the person, look beyond the physical beauty, and there is wisdom in waiting as we exercise self-control and maintain sexual purity. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you that you are a God who created us, a God who created marriage, designed it, and you give us the gift of sexual intimacy within the marriage, Lord. I pray, Lord, for every married couple that is listening to this sermon, Father, may you bless their marriage. Help us, Lord, as we listen to your word to build our marriage further in intimacy and love for each other, Lord. So pray, Lord, for those who are waiting for marriage. God, that you will give them the courage to stand firm in your word, Lord, to do what is right and to glorify you. And may your Holy Spirit enable us, Lord, to glorify you whether we are married or single. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.